I am pretty excited because today we begin 5 weeks, 5 Sundays of reflecting on chapter 6 of St. John's Gospel. And nowhere in the entire Bible is the Jesus teaching on the Eucharist more clearly and more definitively laid out than in chapter 6 of St. John's Gospel. And so I really hope that all of us, over the next month as we reflect on these passages, will be able to come to a deeper appreciation, a deeper understanding of what Mass is all about when we do this every week, and why the Eucharist is so important to us as Jesus' real presence in our midst. So, I would encourage you maybe to sit down sometime and read through the entire 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel and kind of really get the big picture, know the whole context as we go through this. But today, we hear in the Gospel how before Jesus begins his actual teaching to his disciples about the Eucharist, he first works a miracle, a great miracle, which is supposed to give a context for this teaching. And that miracle is, as we've heard, the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. And obviously we can draw lots of important lessons from this great miracle, but I would say that really the most important one, the one that Jesus really wants us to take away from this miracle, is the centrality of sacrifice. Sacrifice. Now, you might say, Father, I didn't follow that at all, right? This is a miracle of multiplication. It's all about the abundance, the superabundance of God, the generosity of God. What has that got to do with sacrifice? Well, remember, where did those loaves and fishes come from? They came from a young boy who brought his lunch, the food that he had on hand, and he gave it away. He sacrificed it to Jesus for his needs. And from that sacrifice, Jesus was able to bring forth this great abundance, this great generous offering. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. St. John makes sure to draw our attention to this fact. He says, the Jewish feast of Passover was near. Why does he want us to connect this miracle and Jesus' teaching on the Eucharist to the Passover? Well, it's because the Passover has this same dynamic that we find in the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves. Of course, you're familiar, the Passover meal is a celebratory meal. It's filled with abundance and good things. But you can't have the Passover meal until you sacrifice the Passover lamb. Right? Again, the sacrifice is the heart, is the center of the Passover supper. And so again, continue the chain. This is why Jesus chose the Passover as the moment, as the venue for instituting the Holy Eucharist. Because he wanted his apostles, he wanted all of us here at Mass to understand that the Mass, that the Eucharist, is first and foremost a sacrifice. Yes, the Mass is a meal. The Mass is where the family, the community of God, gathers around the table of God to receive this glorious ritual meal. But more than that, the heart of that is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Not the Last Supper. That's not the most central moment of the Eucharist, but it is Jesus' death on the cross. That's the moment where he sacrifices himself for us, where he sacrifices himself to the Father. And from that one sacrifice of the cross comes forth all of that superabundance, all of that divine generosity, the forgiveness of our sins, the reconciliation of man and God, the infinite love and mercy, and the new life that is poured out upon us in Jesus Christ. And so, from the miracle of the loaves, to the Passover, to the Eucharist, the real central mystery is the mystery of sacrifice, of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We see this also, by the way, in a lot of the great Eucharistic miracles. That's another thing I like to talk about a little bit over this month, is some of the great Eucharistic miracles throughout history. And I want to start with a real early one today, and that is the story of Saint Tarsicius. He lived way back in the 300s when there was still persecution going on in the church. And really, this miracle, I think, helps us understand not only how the sacrifice of Jesus is central to the Eucharist, but how we also are invited to be a part of that sacrifice. See, what happened with Tarsicius, I tell this story every year to our second graders as they get ready for their first communion, is that he, at the age of 12, was chosen to sneak Holy Communion into the Roman prisons, to those Christians who were going to be put to death in the arena, so that they could receive the body and blood of Jesus before they were executed. But on his way to the prison, he got caught up in a group of other young boys, and they wanted to know what he was carrying. And when he refused to show them what he had, they began to mob up on him, to gang up on him, and they eventually attacked him so severely that he died. But as they bent over his prostrate body and ripped open his shirt to see what this was that he was so secretively carrying, nothing was there. The Eucharist had vanished. That was the miracle. I saw or read once a homily of Pope Benedict XVI where he said, "We should not be surprised that at that moment the Eucharist no longer was there because," he said, in that moment, Tarsicius and the Eucharist became the same thing, one and the same reality, a living sacrifice to God. And see, that is what we are called to understand as well. As we come to Mass, as we recognize Jesus' sacrifice, that we also are called to make some sacrifice, to unite our lives sacrificially to the offering of Jesus on the cross. And of course, we can do that in lots of ways. But again, during these 5 weeks, I'd like to reflect especially on some of the ways that we do that here at church as we enter into the Eucharist, how to make a worthy reception of the Eucharist. Well, one great way that we do that to remind ourselves of the sacrifice is the hour fast. So I'm sure you're all familiar with that. We're supposed to fast for an hour before communion as a way of preparing ourselves. And that's not an optional thing either, by the way. You know, that is on pain of sin that we must fast before Holy Communion. And a lot of, I'm sure, our older parishioners remember the day when that used to be a lot more strict of a fast. It used to be from midnight the day before, which is why in the old days they never had masses later than noon, because, you know, you didn't have evening masses. You'd have to literally fast the entire day in order to do that. And it was also fasting from water. You couldn't drink anything either. So it was a really strict fast. Really, you had to be pretty intentional about it if you were going to receive communion. In fact, I know of some people who used to not even brush their teeth before they would go to Mass because they didn't want to accidentally drink some water. I'm not really sure that was the purpose of the fasting, you know. I think it's more of a sacrifice for your neighbor when you come to Mass with bad breath than for yourself. But anyway, people used to take it very seriously. Well, even though, of course, the discipline has been relaxed now to just an hour, we can still make it a very serious, a very intentional way of preparing ourselves for communion, of making some kind of a real, albeit small, sacrifice to Jesus to unite ourselves with his sacrifice. You know, when you notice you got an hour till Mass, you know you need to start, taking yourself away from food and drink and things like that, to open your heart, to prepare yourself, to get away from the worldly distractions, to prepare yourself to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, sacrificed for you. That's what we should be thinking of. When we understand that, when we use the hour fast to help us understand how the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and how our own little sacrifices united with that are really the core, the central mystery of the Eucharist, then not only will we be able to receive those super abundant blessings of Jesus, of God in the Eucharist, but we ourselves will become a more fitting vessel for that kind of abundance, that kind of fruitfulness in the lives of all of those that we meet. And so let us pray today through the intercession of St. Tarsicius and all the other saints and angels as well, that we can really recognize the one sacrifice of Christ made for our redemption and try our best to unite our little sacrifices to that we might be made one with him in Holy Communion.